Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message.
If you have a copy of God's Word with you this morning, please turn with me to Psalms 146. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, NLT. But any translation is fine, but that's just the one I'm reading out of. If you haven't turned to Psalms yet, don't worry. It's going to be back on the screen behind me. And those of you tuning in online, it'll probably be below me somewhere. A new little feature that we have for our online community. We think about you. Don't worry about it. And so if you haven't been there yet, like I said, it's going to be behind me or below me. So Psalm 146, and it goes something like this. Praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and all their plans die with them. But joyful are those who have God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout the generations. Praise the Lord. The title of my message this morning is Put Some Respect on It. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for today. I thank you what you've already done in the first service, Lord God. And I pray for a continuation here in the second service, Lord God. I pray that your spirit will just fall on those here this morning and those online this morning, that we can just feel your presence so thick, Lord God. I pray that you just speak through me. Use the words that I just feel you put on my heart to reach those here today, Lord God. We just love you so much, and we're so grateful that we just have an opportunity to worship you and to hear your word, Lord God. You're just so amazing. We're so grateful for everything that you've done for us and everything that you're going to do for us, Lord God. You're so loving and so caring. We just don't take that for granted this morning. We love you so much. In the name of us, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so I have a confession to make this morning. I know this won't be a surprise for some of you that know me well, but for those that don't know me very well, or those like tuning in online that probably don't know me, I'm going to go ahead and admit it to you. I don't follow sports. I don't follow sports. I mean, I totally get the appeal to watching a game, and in fact, I watch a game from time to time, but honestly, I couldn't tell you any of the stats from the teams. I couldn't tell you like who I think is going to go to like the Super Bowl or the World Series, even though I know who went to the World Series in 2017. Come on, can I hear a little bit? It was the Astros. Let's go. I don't care if we stole those signs. We still won. Come on, right? Yeah. We got the ring to prove it, right? It's a World Series champs, 2017. We'll probably win it again sometime. But seriously, though, I don't follow major sports. I don't. And like I said, I don't know any of the stats. I don't know who is going to go to what college. I don't know what person is going to go to what NFL team or major league team. I just don't know any of that. And I know some people who do, and it's amazing. If you're a person in the room and you can tell me all of these different stats about these players, like what their RBI is or how many touchdowns they've scored, that's impressive. In fact, I know somebody personally in my life, in my family, that can do that. My father's that way, but I know this kid. I say this kid. It's a niece of my wife's nephew. His name's Maddox. He literally knows like every stat for everything, and it's amazing. I'm like, wow, if you know this much stuff, you must be killing it in high school with the grades, because that takes some serious memory, and I just hope that that is true. But either way, he just knows so much about it, and it's amazing, and I respect him for it, but I'm not like that at all. But there is something I do follow closely. I follow it really closely, actually. And some people, they consider it a sport. But me personally, I consider it a pageant, actually. It's more of a pageant. And the pageant I'm talking about is professional bodybuilding. Professional bodybuilding is something that I've followed for over 10 years, and I actually have extensive knowledge about it. I could tell you that the 1980 Mr. Olympia is considered probably one of the most controversial Olympias ever, when Arnold Schwarzenegger, he came in at the last minute into the contest, which is against the rules, because he was filming for Conan the Barbarian and got in tremendous shape even after he was retired and thought, hey, I might as well go and compete in this Mr. Olympia. So he went in the 1980 Mr. Olympia and beat everyone, and everyone thought that that shouldn't have happened, and it was super controversial, and competitors even boycotted the next year's Mr. Olympia. But in my opinion, the 1981 Mr. Olympia is even more controversial. You see, in 1981, Franco Colombo won his second Mr. Olympia title, which he basically stole from Chris Dickerson, when Danny Padilla, who got fifth place that year, probably should have even been better than Franco. And I know what you're thinking. I've only heard one of those names in my entire life, Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's probably the only person that I just mentioned just then that you have any idea of who that is. And you're probably also thinking, I don't know what the Mr. Olympia is either. Like, you've said that like five times already. What are you talking about? Well, the Mr. Olympia is the Super Bowl of bodybuilding competitions. In fact, there's several shows that happen a year which point is to get you qualified to even step on the Olympia stage. Only the best bodybuilders in the world can even step foot on that platform to call themselves even worthy of being a Mr. Olympian. To become the winner of that contest is a testament to everyone that you are the best bodybuilder in the world. And I understand this is a very niche sport. I get it. I totally do. But this morning, if you don't mind, I want to take you guys on a little bodybuilding journey and a history about the 2003 Mr. Olympia contest, okay? So, a little context here. In 2002, Ronnie Coleman was on top of the bodybuilding world. Anybody in this room heard of Ronnie Coleman except for like two, three people down here that I know? Okay, a few people. Wow, I am surprised, for real. Ronnie Coleman is on top of the bodybuilding world in 2002. He had already won four consecutive Mr. Olympia contests, one after the other, after the other, after the other. And October 19th of that year in 2002, he won his fifth title. So he had won five Mr. Olympia titles undefeated in all the other competitions that he also did in those years. And he had won 14 competitions since 1998 in a row. Everyone in the world, competitors included, thought that Ronnie Coleman was unbeatable. They thought he was unbeatable. This guy can't be touched. There's nothing that we can do to beat him. What is going on? These guys would train and diet and do all these different things in order to try to even stand next to Ronnie Coleman. But when it came down to it, they all lost. And they got this mentality in their mind that Ronnie just can't be beaten, because the world had never seen anyone with such size, symmetry, shape, and condition. It's just the total package. He was quite literally a freak of nature, and seriously, he had a genetic disorder that allowed him to gain more muscle. It is insane. But fast forward to November 9th, 2002, 1 month after the 2002 Mr. Olympia, at the GNC Show of Strength competition, the last two men on the stage, so the top one and two men, they were about to find out who was going to win. The last two men on that stage was Ronnie Coleman, who, like I said, a month before just won the Mr. Olympia contest, and Gunter Schlierkamp, who placed fifth at the Mr. Olympia contest just a month before. And as they were standing there, the MC announced the winner, but something was different. Ronnie's name wasn't announced. Gunter Schlierkamp had done something that no other competitor had been able to do in 4 years and 14 other competitions. He was able to dethrone the king, Ronnie Coleman, of bodybuilding. It was the biggest upset that the bodybuilding world had seen in years, and the word started to spread that Big Ron was in fact beatable. This guy can get beaten. That's what the competitors were saying. Everyone started to believe that he could be beaten. Words spread around in the magazines and all the forums and all these different things. People were saying, Gunter beat him, so maybe I have a chance too. And everybody was so excited for that next Olympia in 2003 to see who was going to beat Ronnie Coleman. Everyone thought that Ronnie Coleman could be beaten. Everyone except for one person, of course, Ronnie. Ronnie, he knew that he couldn't be beaten. So for the next year, Coleman trained and ate like he had never done before, driven by the anger that anybody thought that they could take his Mr. Olympia title from him. And on the weekend of October 24th, Ronnie Coleman shocked the world when he stepped on stage at 287 peeled to the bone pounds and won his sixth consecutive Mr. Olympia title. People had all these things to say about Ronnie leading up to the contest, but when it came down to the night of the show, Ronnie said, "Put some respect on it." The reason I'm telling you all this is because much like the competitors that were up against Ronnie Coleman and leading up to that 2003 Mr. Olympia, sometimes we can feel that God is beatable, that God can lose. We can oftentimes look at our situation and think it's way too much for God to handle. We can be disillusioned by our circumstance and feel like God can't come through in our situation. We let the problems of the world dictate how we look at the God who created the world. And there's so many examples of this. Like maybe you've budgeted wisely and you've saved pennies for emergencies, but an unexpected expense that is way greater than what you have in your bank account has arisen in your life, and you're freaking out because you can't afford it, and you feel like there's no way that you're going to be able to pay for it, and you're just completely out of options. Or maybe recently you lost a job and you've done all you can to put out your resumes, but it's been months and months and months, and you haven't got any callbacks and you just don't see any other jobs available. Or maybe you've been dealing with cancer, something that has affected my family personally, that keeps growing, and the doctors are telling you that they're doing all they can and nothing is working like it should, and the fear of losing your life is growing while your hope is getting less and less and less. All of these situations can bring the idea that maybe it's all too much. Maybe it's all too much. You've been talking with other people and they agree that your situation is serious, your circumstance is dire. So you and everyone else you know is thinking, hey, maybe this is all too big for God. If that's you in the building or online this morning, let me encourage you with this first point. What man thinks he knows, God knows for certain. When we think things are too much, when we think that it's all too big for God, our glorious Father in heaven knows for certain that it's not. When everyone else around you, including yourself, is convincing you that things are too bad, that things are too much to handle, and that your prayers are too big to answer, don't listen. Don't listen. Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There's no help for you there. This verse, it's so powerful. It's so profound. Don't put your confidence in the created. Put your confidence in the creator, right? It's so simple, but so often we just do the opposite. We believe in the voices of this world rather than truly listening to the one who created it. And we do this without even realizing it sometimes, because we feel like the people that we're putting in our lives, we just keep listening to them and putting our confidence in, and we're putting all of our trust in powerful people, and we think that because they're powerful and because they're I don't know, like in some position or whatever, that their opinions have merit. Like the doctor's telling you, hey, like there's nothing we can do. Like your financial assistant or whatever is like, hey, like I don't know how you're gonna pay this. And we listen to it and we think, hey, we're out of options and there's nothing that we can do. But here's the thing, the Bible warns us about this. It warns us about where we put our trust and our confidence. And yes, I'm talking about the friends that are always there to give you advice, whether it be good advice or bad advice, but I'm also talking about the people that you get your facts from on TV, right? Or even worse, social media. Guys, don't get your facts from social media. It's always wrong. Like most of the time, oh my goodness, I'm sure you can relate to this. I've seen so many reposts of things that are so easy to disprove, and it's just like, If you just go to Google for like 2 seconds and look it up, you're going to find that you're wrong. Or this one's even weirder. You'll see like two posts that are contradicting of one another, but they both have that little thing that's like, this is missing some facts or whatever like that. Everything's getting fact checked. But then you go to the fact check and it turns out that they've been fact checked and they're wrong. So it's like, don't get your facts from social media. And I'm also talking about the people that we elect into positions of power. And I know I don't want to get any harsh emails this morning, so let me tell you, I do believe in voting, and I do believe in the importance of government, but what I don't believe in is putting all of my confidence in those people. I'm not going to put my confidence on a person that sits on a throne, so to speak, for 4 years or 8 years. I'm going to put my confidence in the one who created the universe and sits on the throne for eternity. That makes sense, right? Like, why put your confidence in somebody? I mean, like, if we go back to the scripture, it even says it right here, like, the Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout the generations. Praise the Lord. But even before that, it says, don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they will return to the earth, and all their plans die with them. So why are we going to put our confidence in something that's going to go away when we could put our confidence in something that's going to last forever? So yes, I believe that our government officials and stuff, they can be helpful or not helpful sometimes, but they're not the ones that are answering your prayers. They're not the ones that are helping you out of your dire situation. They're not the ones that you're crying to at night to listen. So they're not going to answer you. They're not the ones who formed the earth and hung the stars in the sky. They're not the ones who created you in your mother's womb and know you by name. So they don't deserve our confidence. They don't deserve it. God does. He's the one that deserves all of our trust and all of our hope because he made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. That's the God that we serve, and that's the God that deserves our confidence. What I'm saying this morning is that nothing is too big for God. Nothing. Nothing can stand in the way of his power. There's nothing on earth or in the sky above that can hold a candle to God's power. He's unmatched, undisputed, unhindered in his glory and his power. If he wasn't that way, then he wouldn't be God. But thank God that he is, right? Thank God that he is. And we're gonna go through things in our life. The seasoned saints in the room know it is not all sunshines and rainbows when you're a Christian. It's not. If somebody told you that to accept salvation, I'm sorry, because you're probably finding out the hard way that you still go through problems. You still go through issues. You still go through your valleys. But what is so great about our God is that he is right there with us during all of that. So we can live boldly and confidently in his power and know that he will never be overcome. He will never be overcome. It will never come to an end, which brings me to my second point this morning. Number two, where our problems are temporary, God's solutions are forever. Verse 10, it tells us this: the Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout the generations. Praise the Lord. I love this verse. Like, it's such a simple reminder that in those times where we feel like our situations are too much, God's still sitting there on his throne. He's still there for us. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. He's never going to turn his back on us. He's always with us, right? He's always with us. But I get it. I get it. It doesn't always feel that way. It doesn't. I'm just being honest. Hope that's okay. It doesn't always feel like God's there with us when we're going through something that doesn't seem to have an end to it. We can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. We're just blinded by our circumstance. I know it can be difficult. when the darkness of our situation seems to consume us and leave us feeling discouraged and completely hopeless, it's hard to realize that our God's still with us. I get that. I may not understand your situation, but if you're in the room tuning in, I want to tell you that I understand that problems happen. I don't know the extent of your issue. I don't know the extent of your problems or what you're going through, but I can understand that it feels hopeless. I've been there. I've been in the situations where I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been in the times where I just have nowhere else to turn. And here's the thing. I understand that, but more importantly, God understands that too. He does. But here's the thing. Even when you're up to your head in worry, you can still lift your hands in praise. And God is never too far away to hear that. And that's the key. And our most desperate moments of pain and worry is when we need to praise God the most with the confidence and knowledge that He will come through for us. That's what it takes, our confidence, our praise, our knowledge, our faith that our God is good in heaven and He will never leave us or forsake us. He's such good God. That's just who He is. And we can rest assured knowing full and well that He's going to come through in our situation. He's so good. He's so loving. So if you're going through a hardship this morning and feel imprisoned by your stress, praise God because He frees the prisoners. If you're dealing with a physical ailment this morning, praise God because He gives sight to the blind. If you're weighed down by the burdens of your life, praise God because He lifts up those who are weighed down. And if you're feeling like you're being attacked by the enemy this morning, praise God because He frustrates the plans of the wicked. That's our God. Our God is so good. And He cares for us more than we could ever imagine. I shared a story last service, and I didn't plan on sharing it, but I felt like somebody got something from it, and I don't want to take it away from you guys because it might affect somebody here too, and I hope it does. When I say I understand feeling hopeless, I really do. I got a story. I kind of share a personal story with you guys. Hope that's okay. 2019, I was in love with a woman. I still am. She's my wife, Anissa. And I wanted to marry her. I wanted her hand in marriage. So I did what every man should do. Every man should do this. I asked her father if I could marry her. And he said, yeah, but get a job first. I mean, what are you doing? And so I was like, okay, fair enough. I was working these dead-end jobs, and I felt the same way too. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life, and so I started the hunt. I started looking avidly for something that wasn't just like, you know, like temporary work, $10 an hour. I was looking for something that could really, you know, pay for things if I needed it to, and I wanted something that had benefits and all this sort of stuff, and one day I get this phone call from my really good friend Phil. He goes here to the church. You may have met him, and he tells me, he said, hey, the place I work at is actually hiring apprentices. You should apply for it. And so I did, and you know, Phil being the good friend that he is, he put a good word in for me. They call me, they set me up, and they say, hey, you know, we'd love to have you. And they tell me the starting rate, and I'm like, that's a lot more than I'm making right now. They tell me I'm going to get a 401k, benefits, all this stuff. And I'm like, praise God, I found a job. So I started working there. I was so excited. I went to Mr. Jameson, and I said, hey, here's the job I have. Here's how much I have in the bank. Here's my intentions for your daughter. I want to get married. And he said, that's good. You checked all the boxes, you can marry her, you know, like a good father should, right? You know, make sure your daughter isn't going to just anybody. And so I'm working this job and I'm saving up as much as I can. And I buy the ring. I ask Anissa to marry me. She says yes, thank God. You know, I'm working this job and we're planning our wedding. We're going through all of the steps of our wedding planning and all this stuff. And it's getting closer and it's getting closer. And October 31st. 2019, just November, December, January, February, 4 months before our wedding, I get fired from my job. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm completely hopeless. I get that sinking feeling in my stomach. Maybe some of you can relate to that, where you get some bad news and it really affects your life. Job loss right before I was supposed to get married. No idea what I was going to do. So I did the only thing I could, right? putting out resumes, calling these places, annoying the heck out of them. But I never lost hope that God was going to come through. I just didn't know how he was going to do it. Just didn't know. I felt like maybe my hope is misplaced. Not getting any calls back. I'm not hearing the things that I want to hear. So I start looking for different jobs that I'm not exactly qualified for. And I was like, maybe I can fake it till I make it. But finally, I get a call back from a generator company. I was a generator technician before this. And they say, hey, we're interested. We'd love for you to come and interview. And so I got an interview set up. And all the while, I have a job here at the church. I was part-time youth director at the time here at the church. So I was doing Wednesday nights. And during one of my oversight meetings that I have with Pastor Ryan on a weekly basis, he actually, he tells me, he said, hey, I have an offer for you, actually. He slides a paper across the desk, and it's a job offer, full-time, here at the church. He's like, I know you have that interview next week for that other job, but I just want you to pray about it. We would love to have you here full-time. I want your full, all of your efforts to go towards ministry. He saw that in me. And Pastor, thank you so much for seeing this in me. And I go to the interview. Absolutely kill it, by the way. And they offer me the job. I get in my car and I'm driving back to my house. And I just feel the weight of the Spirit on me. And I knew right then and there what I was going to do. I called Pastor Ryan. I said, hey, I want to go full-time ministry. I want to be the full-time pastor. And we rejoiced. We cried. We were so excited about this. God came through. And to top it all off, he told me, you can start after the honeymoon. Oh, come on, y'all. He said, I can take the honeymoon first and start later. So, Pastor Ryan, you mean so much to me, and I thank you for that. So if you're here in the room this morning and you're only hearing one thing I say, hear this. His name is greater than any other name. He will come through in any situation. Our God is forever, so put some respect on it. Let's pray. But Lord Jesus, I thank you so much, Lord God, for what you've done in this service, Lord. I thank you for who you are in our lives, Lord Jesus. You're so good to us. We don't deserve it. There's nothing that we can do to deserve it at all. And it's just freely given to us through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. You've made us able to have this relationship with you so we can turn to you in our most dire situations, Lord God. I pray for anyone here in the room that is going through something right now. And in fact, I did this last service. I want to do it right now with everyone's eyes closed. If you're going through something right now that seems like it has no end, if you're going through something that is overwhelming you and making you lose hope, with everyone's eyes closed, will you just raise your hand? I want to know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty so much. You can put your hands down. Lord God, you're so good. It's just so plain and simple. You're so good. I thank you for the honesty of these people here. I don't know their circumstance. I don't know what they're going through, but I know this. You are our God, and you want to be there with us in our situation. You want to bring us out of the valleys that we're going through in our lives. So I pray for a restoration of spirit and mind in these people's lives, Lord God, that you will just work in them and let them know they are not going through this alone. Let them know that there are people that want to build them up in the right way, not to give them the bad advice, but to give them the good advice, the advice that says, hey, I know you're going through it. Let's go through this together. Let's praise God through our circumstance. And you will come through like you've done so many times in my life, so many times in my family's lives. Cancer defeated, sickness defeated, injuries healed. And that's just my personal life. And you've done so much more. And we thank you for that, that you are the God in heaven that heals, the God in heaven that restores, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for today. Thank you for what you're doing. And I know that there might be people in this room or maybe people tuning in online that you hear this and you're thinking, this all sounds great, this all sounds good, but I don't really know this Jesus person. I don't know God. Or maybe you know God, but it's been a while since you've really pursued him and you just do not feel him at all. Well, let me tell you, there's salvation for you. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. There's salvation that's just waiting for you. And accept that salvation, whether you've done it for the first time or whether you just want a reaffirmation, affirmation that you are saved. You can say a prayer. It's nothing crazy. It's nothing weird. It's just a simple prayer. And you can say things, and I just want to guide you through that. So if you're here today or online and you want that salvation in your life, you can say things like this: Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I need you. I know that you died on the cross and rose from the dead to forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I want you in my life as my personal Lord and Savior. You are the one true God whose name is greater than any other name. And I want you in my life for today and forever, Lord. And that's it. It tells us in Romans, if you say with your mouth and know in your heart that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. There's nothing more that we can do except for profess that he is our Lord. And so if you said that this morning, I just want to reassure you that is the greatest decision that you could have ever said. So Lord God, I thank you for everything you've done in this service. I thank you for everything that you're going to continue to do throughout the rest of the day and the rest of the week for those who heard something this morning. Lord God, we love you and we praise you and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.